Alrighty, we're finally going to get started. The delay was not because I didn't want to start, but Debbie was so thrifty with her session that we actually had a bit of time to burn and let everyone get over here, because I know people are itching to come to the last session of the day. So thanks for everyone that's made it through. You know, a session starting at almost 6 o'clock, that is a long day. So hopefully everyone's had a good one. So if you aren't here for SharePoint 2013 search, you're not allowed to leave. You have to stay anyway. But that's what we're going to be talking on. So, who am I? And then we'll get into it. My name's Nick Hadley, so I'm the practice lead and a senior consultant for Incheon Christchurch. I've worked happily with SharePoint for the last 5 years. Anyone that's ever worked with SharePoint knows that that is not a true statement. But I'm still doing it, so, and you guys obviously have some interest in it, so... We love to love SharePoint, or hate to love it, love to hate it. I don't know which it is, but we're all interested, so that's good. You can contact me via nick.hadley@intergen.co.nz. I do tweet sometimes, less now. I can't be bothered anymore. It's a bit hard, but you'll definitely get me there. If you'd send me a tweet, I'll respond. And I do have a blog, but I'm a bit lazy. It's actually quite hard to write blog posts. It takes ages, so I write like one or two a year. On some obscure topic usually. So anyway, that's that. So what are we going to talk about in sort of one slide? Because SharePoint 2013 search is pretty much brand new. I mean, search is not new. We've had search forever. But if I had to say what's 2013 search in one slide, it would be this. What's changed? Well, pretty much everything. So there's a new UI. It looks like the old UI, but it's actually quite different. There's an entirely new architecture. The administration model is radically different now, I think, and that's a good thing. The development options are quite different as well. So basically, from end to end, it's different. But what does that mean? I mean, there used to be multiple platforms. There was FAST, there was Enterprise Search, there was Search Express, and I know some, probably some other sneaky versions we didn't know about, but they're all gone. There's just the one platform now. And there's a brand new customization model. So we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail, but result sources, display templates, result types, query rules, these are things you're going to have to start to understand and know what they mean. And I'll hopefully give you a bit of an overview of what they are, and we'll show how we can use them. But it's a brand new model. So the highlights, what are we actually going to do in this session? You know, that was the one sort of one slide. You should have taken a picture. You can take that back to the office. That's a lame joke. What are we actually going to cover in this session? We're going to have a look at the new UI. We're going to have a look at the administration. So when I said it's new, you now have options at the site collection level. You have options at the site level. You obviously have it right back at the service application level as well, but there's now options sort of all over the place, which is quite interesting, and we'll talk about that a bit. We'll have a look at the new architecture as well, because you know, need to know how this whole thing actually works. We'll also have a look at some stuff for the developers, not in a lot of detail, unfortunately. It's just going to be a quick sort of dusting for the developers, but we will, and there are some important points there. So you'll see Search CSOM, brand new. We didn't have that. That's a new thing we've got. There is a REST web service. That's pretty cool. There's actually REST web services all through 2013. So if you don't know what REST is, you need to brush up, because this is just basically how you get into anything in SharePoint 2013 now. Who likes XSLT? Hands up, please. Yeah, it's gone. True clap. Yes. Goodbye, XSLT. It's not there anymore. But what have we got? It's been replaced with a whole new model, which is result sources, display templates, result types, query rules. You'll see I've got like three or four slides where I say the same thing over and over again. So we're going to talk about those a bit more. But before we do that, let's actually have a look at the user interface changes. So this is the new 2013 interface with a light sort of tweaking from me to make it a little bit more interesting. What's actually happening in this new interface? So we've still got the refiners. Everyone remembers refiners from 2010. But do we remember that? Well, we don't remember because it wasn't there. But let's see that. Visual refiners, that's brand new. Quite cool, interactive slider. Get a bit of a profile of our data. And so actually we can see a lot more about the search results just there, and we've got this new visual refiner. That's pretty cool. Best bets, they're still there, but they've just given them a new name. Probably went to a marketing company. It cost about $10 million. but they're called promoted results, and they are configured via these new things called query rules. So query rules is quite a big concept, and it's not just these best bets, promoted results, it's also result blocks. And so result blocks are, hopefully it's very visually obvious, it's an inline result block within the main results, and we can do a lot within those. So we can start to do things like maybe my results, just stuff that I've been interacting with amongst all the rest of the results, external stuff from other systems. My personal favourite, and what we'll be trying to do in this session, is a little bit of an inline image. No, it doesn't do this by default. You'd expect it would. Well, maybe it will, doesn't it, at the moment. So let's just try and do that. And, of course, the hover panel. Excuse me while I scratch my itchy nose. So the hover panel is a brand new thing. That's the new concept. But it's very sort of 2013, if that's sort of a truism. But in all of the 2013 Office clients and other parts of 2013, you'll see now you've got this sort of paradigm of things popping up and giving you more information. Search is exactly the same. We can see there we've actually got a Word rendition of the document, and so with Office Web Apps in 2013, we now have a full live preview. And fast, we used to have the thumbnails, we thought, oh, that's kind of cool, but this is a full preview. We can actually go through the entire document and look at the whole content, or if we want, we could click in and actually read it online and then download it and do all that sort of cool stuff. But why would we bother? We've got it right there. See below it, we've even got some of the headers, so the actual structure of the document's been presented to us. We can click into that, and it'll take us straight to that header in the Office Web Apps preview. So that's quite an interactive and powerful part. Of course, oh, hold on, yep. No, it doesn't work. and so we'll talk about that sort of scenario during the session, but at the moment it only works with PowerPoint, Excel, and Word. Don't think it works with OneNote. No, just those three. There are some caveats. So you have to, it's claims only. In previous versions it didn't work with claims, now it has to work with claims. It's kind of like, oh, okay, fine, claims only, that's fine. You have to have an Office Web Apps farm. That sounds scary. What that really means is you've got to have Office Web Apps on a server, and it can't be a SharePoint server. So you've got to, at minimum now, have at least a SharePoint server and an Office Web Apps server, probably some more servers if you went to any of Wayne's talks about the new caching. So you're going to need quite a large farm for a small farm. The other thing is we don't know about the licensing model exactly, but at the moment, the planning documentation says it's probably free for view only, but you're going to need some sort of license for editing. So there are a few caveats, but it is quite powerful. And that whole idea of previewing the content, yes, Microsoft's only providing us with the three Office documents, but you should start to think how you could do that for other stuff. Well, that's what I'd like us to think about. So let's sort of take the new UI for a spin. It's just more of a gratuitous demo, to be honest. We don't need to do this, but why not? That's awesome. What's happening? Laptop's fault. Okay, so this is the new clean UI. This is the a search center. It's very clean, isn't it? Woo! Stark. But this is not part of the demo. So let's just do a search for something, you know, like, say, I don't know, SharePoint. And so now we've got our results. See, we've got a little video up the top there, and it's already got a nice wee picture. If anyone recognises that video, it's almost worth the prize, but not quite. So let's just hover over a result, and so see we've got our preview there. We've got a bit of context onto the right. We've got some of our options, so what can we actually do with the content? Let's just scroll over here and, you know, start going through the document, reading it. Come over, and we've got our refiners, so we can do a bit of refinement. Get some less content, do some more hovering. So, I mean, that is the standard interface. That's what you get basically for free. As long as you've got Office Web Apps, SharePoint, that's pretty good. I mean, that's nice. That's a much better interface than we had. Thank you. I take all the credit for the team. I had nothing to do with it whatsoever, so it's good. But let's sort of think now, we've seen the front end, that was cool. Let's just start talking about the architecture, the administration model, because unfortunately that stuff doesn't sort of come for free. We actually need to manage this whole thing. and understand it. So this is the new architecture. I didn't do this diagram either, I just stole it, so I've got the source there. But what we've really got is six components as part of search. So if you recognize any of them maybe from enterprise search, there's a couple there which we had in the 2010 architecture model. In Fast, there was sort of some of these as well. And what they've really done is taken the products and gone, let's get the best bits and cobble it all together. So now we've got, first of all, the crawl component. So that guy just goes out and acquires content. He doesn't really do anything other than getting the content, pulls out some of the metadata that might be there, and then passes along the pipe. So it's not really responsible for a lot. But what I should mention is there's a brand new crawl model which is available for SharePoint content. So we have the full crawl still there. We have the incremental crawl, but we also have this thing called a continuous crawl. Now, because search powers a lot in 2013, we need a way to keep this fresh. So they went, oh, we'll give you a crawl. You just turn it on, it'll look after itself. So basically, the continuous crawl, it's very high performance, just runs out, makes sure all of our content's pretty much in the index by default every 15 minutes. And then we need to think about the index health ourselves. We still need to have our own crawls, but that'll at least keep a lot of content in there. So that's a new crawl. We've also got then, once we've gone and done our crawl, it'll pass along to the content processing. So that's where we start to actually crack open the content, pull things out like entities. So in Fast in 2010, we had entity extraction. That's now part of this product. You do a bit of parsing. So instead of the iFilters that we had in 2010, we've now got parsers. iFilters still work, but now we've got these high-performing parsers. So this, I want everyone to clap for this one soon. They obviously work with Word documents, Excel, Pages, HTML. Guess what now works out of the box? Yeah. I mean, that is not an amazing thing, but why has it never worked before? I don't know. It's just ridiculous. So that's nice that that works. And then once we keep on sort of going down the pipeline. So once the processing has happened, we need to write that to the disk to be searchable. So that's what the indexing component does. We've got a whole lot of analytics that happens now. So the analytics component actually processes some of those results of the content processing. And you can see there's an eventing model. So there's a whole lot of other stuff happening with analytics. I'm not going to go into the detail of it, but just know that as you're looking at search results, as you're clicking at them, all that stuff's being recorded and pumped back in, which we can help us with some of our rankings, help us to understand what's popular. Really quite powerful stuff in, you know, actually creating search queries that are interesting. We have our administration component over here, which we always had as well. And then we've got our query processing. So that's the guy that actually gets the queries in from the, what they call it, the client application. But for most point, that's probably the search center itself. That passes on, says index component, hey, have you got any results? Index component passes it back, sends it back off to the client. So we've got those sort of six components all working together. And because it's been split out like that, it's now really highly scalable. Any of these components that we'd like to say, I need to make it faster, I need to make it more redundant, we can scale out just those components. So we've got a lot of flexibility as to how we actually make our search architecture look in our organizations. That's probably enough for that sort of architecture type stuff. So just to sort of summarize what I was talking about there, there aren't those... Oh. The query pipeline? There is, so there's a call out web service now where you can take some content and then go out and do some extra processing. So there are other options and there is probably other extension points. I would have to find out exactly what you're asking to... Just the call out? That's it. Right, so there's only that thing I just talked about, so I know everything about search. So the parsers, they replace iFilters. So they the old ones will still work, and that's how you can build your custom stuff, but basically parsers is a new thing. Now, the most important point on this slide that I haven't really talked about is the fact that there's a brand new content model which search powers. So has anyone heard of the content by search or content search web parts? Yeah, that's good. Remember content query? You know, that whole sort of idea. So this is sort of extending it across the entire search index now. So same sort of thing where you say, right, I'd like to go and get this sort of content from across the entire index, and it starts to be that presentation model. So cross-site collection aggregation. There's also the product catalogs, which are based around some sort of search. E-discovery, so some of the legal type of holds, probably stuff we won't worry about too much here. I think in the My Sites is the tasks, the My Tasks, which aggregates from across all sorts of different areas. That's based on the search index as well. So content comes from search now. It's actually a very important part of our entire architecture. Yep. Yes. That's a good question. I don't think so. What it really just means is that it can crack open, I suppose, parts of the metadata of the image. But yeah, I'd have to clarify that a little bit more.
No, it's still just
piece of data. Right, there we go. You can have a cup. I know that's what you want. Everyone wants the cups. No one wants the cars. Okay, so that was the architecture, but what about the administration side of things? So it might be familiar, just at the bottom there, kind of looks like something we've seen in previous versions. We had our crawled properties and our managed properties. So that's still around, but now you probably notice that we're in the site collection, and we've got options at the site collection level to now define managed properties, to set up our what crawled properties we'd like to promote up as managed properties and so on, and we can do it at the site level as well. So now we can do it globally up at the search application level, come down to a specific site collection, do it for that, or down one more to the site level. So that's a pretty powerful concept. Hold on one moment. Wow, that's interesting. Each site collection won't really know about each other, but you could have some clashes. Do you have any? Oh, I should actually, I'm terrible at this. The question was, can you have different properties from different site collections? And will there be a clash? I'm not sure. And Wayne, do you? Right. Yeah, so Wayne's saying he thinks it's at that scope, so there's probably no real clash. Sounds reasonable. The other thing, and last point I've got on the slides there, is that these sort of configurations, it's always been a nightmare to actually port them, apart from, maybe having to export them via some PowerShell or try and move config databases of search applications, all sorts of horrible things we've had to do. We now have an export-import option for a lot of our search management, and one of the things is this search schema. I didn't actually mention that, did I? So this new managed property, crawled property thing that we have at each of the scopes is called the search schema. That's the overarching name it's been given. So that's sort of one aspect of management. So what is new for development, for developers? We've talked about architecture to a certain degree, management, administration. It's pretty much the same. We've still got our content sources, but that sort of idea of stuff being at the lower levels, that's what I really wanted to highlight. For the developers, what's important to know? Well, the search.asmx, that's been deprecated. That doesn't mean it won't work. It still works, but basically what's been said is don't use it anymore for any new stuff because it probably won't work at some stage. It's all a bit fluffy, but basically don't use it because you don't want to anyway. If you see what you've got instead, you won't want to use it. It's horrible. The SQL query syntax has been removed entirely, so if you have any customizations that rely on that, doesn't work. Probably a good thing. It was pretty complex, but that's just as it is. XSLT, we already clapped about it, so no one's crying over XSLT. But what it has been replaced with is the whole idea of display templates, and we'll explain what those are in a little bit. But effectively, they are HTML and JavaScript that define a search result. Not the entire search result, which is what XSLT was. It was like for every conceivable option in this one file, that was horrid. Now we have this granular, just for this one result, I'd like to define how it looks. And it's all based on HTML, and we'll have a look at that. So those were the things that were sort of gone or going or, we weren't too happy about. These are the things we've got now. So we have CSOM for search, and it's at that namespace. In a few practices, I've tried to say that, and it's like Peter people pick, it's one of those sort of things. Microsoft.SharePoint.Client.Search.Query. Say that 5 times. Yeah. So we've got that CSOM, and we can execute queries against that. That's cool. But we also have this REST web service, and it's under __API/search, and then we can actually make a query as simply as just hitting a URL with query text, and that is where we actually put in our query, and then we'll get some XML returned, which is the entire search result. Now, anything we can do in CSOM, we can also do with this REST service. And so if we've got options in the CSOM, like we're going to do a certain ordering, or we're going to set some other property that I can't think off the top of my head, you could just pass that in as an option with the REST URL, and it'll do exactly the same thing. So all of a sudden, our options for how we can create some custom stuff based on search, they've got a lot bigger. And then display templates rear their head again, just because developers love to debug stuff, and you're thinking this horrid HTML paradigm, it's going to be terrible. Well, we can debug them, so it's not that bad. And sorry, that's it for the developers. It's not like I don't like developers. I am a developer, but I didn't want to do any demos on development. I just thought I'd highlights. So customizing the UI, because actually that's most of the time what we need to do, what we should be doing, is thinking we've got this really interesting content. How do we present it to our users so they can interact with it? So what's this new model? Third time I've said it. Does anyone notice anything? XSLT is gone. The other good thing as well, though, who liked creating refiners in 2010? Who managed to make it work every time? No, because it was all based on this obscure XML. It wasn't that obscure, but you'd have to copy it out, put it into your favorite editor, find one that looked right, do some tweaking, probably remember to remove some line feeds or something. I don't know, it was just a nightmare. So we don't have to do that anymore. We've got a web part with options. We just drag and drop our properties. It's a lot nicer. Very exciting. But the UI, how do we actually make up our UI? Well, we've got these four components, and it's not that we have to use all of them. It's that these give us options to configure our UI depending on what we're trying to do. So what are they all? So result sources. Remember scopes? They've been replaced. Not replaced, enhanced. I think enhanced is a better word. So scopes and federated locations have been changed to this thing called result sources. So a result source is like what a scope and a federated location was, but with more power. I saw someone moving, but it's not a question. That's all right. So we have some better options with our federated locations as well. So now we can talk to remote SharePoint farms via this sort of model a lot easier. We can also talk to Exchange. And then the standard sort of open search, if you want to have some XML-based external system, you can just plug it in there. But what's quite interesting, like our schema management, we can do this now at each of those three levels as well. So all of a sudden, if someone's got site collection privileges, they can do a lot in their site collection. They don't need to constantly come cap in hand to whoever owns search and say, please, sir, I need some really basic search stuff. Take a ticket. Yes. I think it does. This is my questions guy. If you don't know the answer to something, you just ask Wayne, the certified master and certified architect. If he can't answer it, he will ask someone. Which will finally come back to me via an email. Nick, do you know the answer to this? No. I was only kidding. It's not me. I'd like to think it's me, but it's not. Okay, so we've got the result sources. Stop laughing over here. It's not joking. We've also got display templates. So I sort of have alluded to them, but this is an example to the right of what you're sort of going to be looking at with a display template. So it's HTML. It's an HTML document. We upload it to the master page gallery, and SharePoint will turn it into some JavaScript because it uses a web part that feeds in some JavaScript. So there's all this asynchronous stuff happening, which is quite cool. But it has quite an interesting structure. It's got a whole lot of metadata in the top of the document, which defines things like the managed properties, the name of the template, and all these sort of things. And then we've basically got our display, what we want to be output. It looks quite sort of scary, and you can only see the corner. Imagine if you could see the far right, you'd be really worried. But it's not as scary as you think. And we'll look at one. So result types. So once we've got our display template, we've said, right, this is how we want a search result to look. Well, then we need to actually say what types of results need to use that display template. So this is really just the engine for us mapping and saying, right, I've got this super fancy template, and I want these types of content to use it. So that's that. It's pretty basic. Also, at these three levels, so lots of stuff in search now, we've got sort of granular control, which is cool. But that's all you really do with result types. You just say template, type, meet each other, done. That's it. Query rules. So these are probably the most powerful part of this whole model, where we can say, right, based on a certain criteria, I'd like some stuff to happen. And stuff could be our new best bet, the promoted result. It could be a result block. It could even just be changing the query and changing some rankings. And the criteria, so I've actually overlaid two screenshots here. I don't know if it's obvious. Hopefully it is. The sort of criteria that we can build up is really flexible. I mean, it could be just a simple keyword match, like developers. If anyone searches for developers, send them to Nick. Too late in the day, innit? But it could also be looking into a dictionary and a managed metadata term set, which is really powerful. So if you start to say, look, I want to set up a rule and I'm going to give it to someone in the business, they can manage sort of things that match that criteria. That's actually quite powerful. And then you can start to add lots of different properties. You could say, right, if it has this content type and it has this field here and this field there, and you can make a really complex query rule. So I think that's just an open-ended sort of engine for us to be able to do a lot with search. And I'll hopefully show a bit of an example of what that could look like. And right, we're at demo time. How am I going for time? I know that everyone wants to go to Tech Fest. That's why I'm trying to do it quickly. So you're going to remember me fondly in the evals. Yes. I think the client type you can pass in as a parameter, but that's about it. There are other things with the clients. I know that different clients will get ranked. So one client might be a first class citizen. He gets more love, and this one here will, demote him a little bit. He won't get the search results as quickly if we underload that sort of stuff. But I probably won't show it exactly, but the number of things that you can put into the query rule, as far as you can do page fields, you could have query string rules, you can have a lot of options, and they're coming from a lot of places. So I think the client is one of them, but I don't want to say it is, because then I might be wrong and I'd look silly, which never happens. I'd have to check, but that's a good question. Anyway, not sure. Sorry, but that is a good question. There are lots you can do. So remember our familiar search results. So what I really want to do is enhance these search results a little bit. So first of all, oh, look, video's trying to pop up. That's cool. Let's just do a search for 2013. And see, we've got this asynchronous little guy doing his whirly-whirl, and it's on my laptop, so it shouldn't be that slow, though. There we go, finally it's come back. And so see, we can see some content that's come up. We've got PDF, we've got a PowerPoint, we've got a Word document. And then down here, these things, Office 23, 2013, SharePoint 2013, they're actually images. Yeah, I know, you can tell. So if we hover over them, this is sort of what we get. And we think, well, that's really about as useful as a search result without an image when it's an image. But that's the experience we're getting. I'm sure it'll be much better in RTM, because the search is actually ongoing and some of the development on it's ongoing, so maybe it'll be better, maybe it won't. I'd hope it would be. So let's just go to one I sort of prepared earlier and do our same 2013 search. And so instead, I've got a few things happening here that I'll explain, and hopefully gives people an understanding of the power of what we can do now with 2013 search. So let's just scroll down and don't hover over. They're very excited. They always want to pop up and say hello. So that 2013 in Office 2013 that we saw in our results before, and why can't we show a thumbnail preview? Surely that's pretty logical. Let's just do that. So we've done that, and it, obviously as we hover over, we can see some more of the image. That's what I'd like to see. Let's do that. What about, kind of Bing style? I don't know if Bing does this. I'm sure it does. When you do a search, you get that stuff along the top. Here's a few images for what you're looking at. Well, that seems pretty logical. Let's do that. So that's the sort of stuff I'd expect out of the box, but unfortunately not quite out of the box at the moment. You asked about the PDFs. I'm only because you asked. It's not loading up now. It's been a little punk. You can see the idea if it was loading, which it's not. bad PDF. I mean, you can just put an iframe in there or a PDF object tag or something to render the PDF. It would be far more impressive if the PDF is right there. Let's all imagine it, because it should be there. My PDF might have gone to sleep or something. I mean, there are probably security concerns, and that's maybe why they haven't done it, because, you know, PDFs are evil. They could accidentally do stuff in your environment, or apparently. So you have to turn on inline allowing of that MIME type and a few other bits and pieces, but, you know, it's certainly possible. So this is kind of where we want to get to, but this is where we're at the moment. And let's have a look at that whole customization framework to see how we could get there. How are we going for time? When do we have to finish? Now, he says. No. 1:45. Really? God, I'm sure I timed this better. Well, we're going to go finish early and everyone's going to give me bonus points. So first up, what do we need? Well, we need a display template, because we obviously need to say for our result we'd like the image. I'm just going to show you what the display templates look like. So Visual Studio, we can all read that okay? Yep. So this is the default one. This is not a custom one. And it sort of looks sort of like there's a lot happening, but there's not really. I mean, we've got these special variables inside all of our HTML, which is actually making it look bigger and more complex than it is. But if we sort of look at the top, we've got some properties such as, you know, the description. We've got the type of control that we want it to target. So we have hover panels, we have the main results, we have our content web parts. We've got all sorts of things that use it, so we can actually say what type of control should use this HTML we've got. The managed properties, so we've actually said what are the managed properties this result needs. So we define all that stuff up in our header area. And then down in the body is when we actually say, right, let's do some stuff and make this result look cool. And so it is a mixture of just sort of structural HTML, inline JavaScript using this completely proprietary, not even semi, this markup. You have this hash, then an underscore, and then another underscore and a hash, and a comment which denotes, you know, this is a JavaScript area. And then you can see within the HTML itself, we've got a similar looking but slightly different underscore hash equals. So if we want to have any of our JavaScript or properties referenced within our HTML, we use that sort of format. And if we want to do some actual JavaScript, we use that format. And then when we upload it to SharePoint, it knows how to mesh the whole lot together into something which it can use. So it's just what's happening there. We'll also notice, so it's actually, once we get away from all this stuff up the top, it's actually pretty basic, this template. I mean, this is the default template. But there's this notion here of sort of a hierarchy of templates to see it's calling something else. So you might, depending on your result type, say, right, I'm just going to do everything here myself. I'm never going to call any of these children templates, and that's fine. But to actually achieve some of the stuff that we were doing before, you don't need to do a lot. You only need to sometimes set properties. Because the templates themselves are doing a lot with those properties, you're going to get a really fantastic result, and I'll hopefully explain that in a second. But there isn't a lot of documentation around this stuff. It is quite obscure at the moment. There might be. There will be somewhere. Good. Oh, it's been painful. It'll be less painful. And we also have debugging anyway. So let's just, instead of looking at the default one, look at one I prepared. Oh, geez, that's a bit terrible. One I prepared earlier. What was I at? 125. I think it was 110. Can everyone see that? No, that's terrible. I should have checked that one earlier. There we go. So this is pretty much a similar sort of thing that was happening as before, but, you know, I was saying you don't need to do everything yourself. In my example here, I'm just setting a property on the search results. So we have this context, which is actually the search result, and we have the current item. And then you see we've got all these different properties that are associated. So that's the result that's been passed back to us, and this is the thing we can start to use. And you can see that and somewhere in there, I can't see him at the moment, we start to use it in this inline JavaScript. And so I'm just setting one property, which is the picture URL. And by actually setting that and then sending it into another template, the template will deal with some of the fancy magic I need. So sometimes all we need to do is set a few properties based on some criteria we know, and things will look good. Yep. Yep, so the question was, and I'm getting better at this, if it's pointing to a picture library, will it grab the thumbnail URL property? Yeah, so depending on the type of content, so the way that I'm working it, I'm in a media library, and I'm putting some images in the media library, and it's setting those properties. So I've already got them there, and SharePoint's got them there, but it's just not using them, which some of it's illogical. Maybe, you know, the preview version, they just didn't have a chance to pump it quite in, and we get RTM, maybe they've already done it. Maybe they haven't, and we'll do it ourselves, and it's really not that hard. So this is our HTML, and we've probably looked at this enough. So what we need to do once we've created our lovingly crafted HTML is then go and actually upload it somewhere. And that's into our master page gallery. So site settings, and we've got our gallery here. And now we've got a whole lot of extra folders that we used to have, I think, preview images, but we didn't have a lot else. But now we've also got display templates, which is giving us a clue as to what's in here. And one of them is the search display templates. And so you can see there's actually a whole lot of default ones in there already. So this is all the default behavior. And what we want to just do is upload a couple ones. So I'm going to be ambitious and try and do two of those things that we were looking at in my Uber results. So, you know, familiar sort of interface, go and find our files. And so I'm uploading the HTML, so I want to upload, first of all, I've got one for an image with a thumbnail. Click OK, and then the next screen we'll see is actually SharePoint looking at that file and then pulling out some of those properties which are defined. Sorry to keep you waiting. See how it's always so apologetic? Oh, there we go. And so the description, and we can see just down the bottom the managed property mappings, those were all in that top part of my HTML, and they've been pulled through and now presented in this form. So it's all very sort of connected within the framework. So we just go save, that's fine, we're happy with that file and whatever other properties. Oh God, that's never happened. Something went wrong. That has never happened. All right, let's try that again. Probably because it knew I was talking too much. Go back in, upload it again. See, that went in. It's just a glitch in the matrix. So we've got a few more little files we want to upload. So see how I've got two files here? I've actually got four, but I've got a hover panel and another file. So I've got image with thumbnail only. So for any of my results, I've got the main result that I see in the search results, and then I've got my hover panel action. And so they come in pairs usually. And so I've cheated and I've actually used... I've used one hover panel for two of them. I mean, you just reference them in your HTML. So let me even just show you that bit. Thumbnail only. And we can see somewhere. Where am I? Can't even see it, actually. There we go. So the hover URL. So this is just where I say what is the file that you should use as the hover. And so I've used one twice, because, you know, I don't want to write extra stuff. And so let's upload our hover panel as well. This guy. It's very sorry to keep me waiting, as usual. I'm glad that SharePoint's apologetic now. And so let's just quickly filter on this. And so you can see there's actually files and pairs here. So we manage and create the HTML. We upload it, and then SharePoint processes that and turns it into a JavaScript file, and so those two are automatically associated. You, unless you're, I don't know, some sort of crazy daredevil, should never create the JavaScript yourself. You probably could, but you don't need to. You just create the HTML, the JavaScript will be created for you. So once that's there, it now is available for us to use somewhere. So let's just go and have a look at a couple of other things that we need to do to tart up our results. First thing I just want to point out, and I haven't got Zoom installed, but see we've got our search on the left and then the site collection administration on the right. See, in the search we've got result sources, result types, query rules, schema, and we've got something pretty similar on the site collection. So they are the options where we could be defining it just for the site or for the entire site collection or something defined up at the site collection level, service application level. So, that just sort of alluding to some of those administration options. So, first thing we want to do is go and create a result type. And it's interesting, I already have one here. I'll delete that. Don't know what he's doing there. He's obviously not working. And so, let's just create a new result type. And so, now, when we're creating a result type, we just choose what's the name of this this result type. Now, I've got a source that I'm going to use, and then I just want to say what type of result. And I'm going to do the thumbnail item. And then I click Save. Now, that should be enough, unless, of course, this is my demo fail bit. And that is the bit that I didn't set up. Quickly needing to change something. Let's leave that one for the second part if we get time to it, because I've got those templates in there. I don't really need to use them for this result type. Remember I said I was going to try and do two things at once? Well, the one I was going to do, I haven't done yet. The second one I did first, which I shouldn't have. So let's pretend we haven't done that yet. That's not impressive. Let's just go to the query rules, because that's actually what we care about. So this is the first screen we get for query rules. And we have to define a query rule assigned to a source. So what I'm going to do is go, right, for any kind of SharePoint results, we wait for it to refresh, I'd just like to add a rule. And so we can already see a whole lot of rules that are already there, and you can sort of see the types of rules that have been created by SharePoint and the types of actions. So there's heaps of stuff already happening, but let's just create one ourselves. So I'm going to create one for image results. And condition-wise, so this is where you could start to add your different conditions. I don't want a condition, so I'm just going to remove it. What I am going to do is add a result block. Now, I could, for instance, add a promoted result, and then my condition would need to make sense. So if there's no point having a promoted result if we're not actually got a condition for it to match on. But this is where I do that promoted results, best bets, or result block. So it's all in here. This is that sort of one place we need to know about. But what I want is the result block. So I want those images along the top. So what I'm going to do is just give it a nice sweet title. Image results, that's good. I'm going to go to pictures, and actually I want to have five of them. So I'm just saying, right, for a search, I'd like you to go and grab me some results from the pictures result source, because that's where the pictures are. And what do I actually want to do? I also want to just put it at the top all the time, and I'd like to use one of my display templates that I uploaded. So we have the result types where we normally define our display templates and that mapping, but we also can do it here. So this is just where I'm going to say, well, actually, I've got a special display template I want to use as well. And so I've added that. That's all sitting there. And then I just go save. There we go. I've got my query rule. Let's hit 2013 again. Let's do a bit of an F5. There we go. So, come on, that's more impressive than that, surely. So, it does get a little bit case, so the F5 is sometimes necessary. But the query rule that I've created, I've just said, right, for any sort of search, I'd like you to go and find me some images related to that search, which is where I said what the result source was from, and use this display template to actually present that. So now I've got quite a rich set of results happening, and I've got a little bit of information at the top as well. And I can hover over that, so the hover panel that I was talking about before, so that's just a custom hover panel. Now, for that one there, all I'm doing is setting that one picture URL property and letting the rest of the template deal with it. Yeah.
So
the question was, I love doing it this way, can you do attachments within there? I mean, you can do as much as you can do and as clever as you can get. So if you can get access to the attachment, which I've never tried, then you could probably crack that open and work with it. Because it's an HTML file where you can call JavaScript, then you might be able to use the standard CSOM and actually go and talk to the list item itself, go and grab some more properties. I mean, there's probably a lot you can do. It's just whether you'd want to and how much heavy lifting you'd have to do it. But because it is actually that flexible and you've got inline blocks where you can do whatever you want, the results are endless. And I sound like a gimmicky guy. But yeah, I mean, you possibly could. Have you ever tried doing attachments? No. Hopefully you haven't got people attaching images to list items as attachments. You've got a nice sort of URL reference into a document library, and then you've got that as a managed property, and you just do it that way, you know? No? Oh, that's how I'd do it. So the other one that I didn't quite do, let's see if... who wants to see that happen? Because it's not that hard, I just need to do a bit more monkeying around than I expected. 6:30. Yeah, all right. Go for broke, they say. Okay, so let's just go and create ourselves a result source because the one that I was using there was not working. And so I've got one here, pictures custom, which is coming from the search service application. I'm going to create another one called images. And so here's our options with result sources. So we've got the different types of protocols we could use. It's not how you spell images. So we still want it to come from the SharePoint results, and you know we could use any of these. So it sort of shows you the external options to actually talk to other systems from right within the site collection. That's pretty cool. And I'm just going to do a really simple one. So you know this is just a property match. So this is standard sort of search keyword properties, and this is stuff we can still do. Hopefully this will be good enough. I might just launch the query builder and you can have a look at that. So we've got the query builder here. So these are the sort of things that we can actually start to put in our result sources, the sorts of property filtering we can do. So you can see that we could build up a result source based on some really complex or not complex properties if we wanted to. I'm just going to pop that guy in there too. Hopefully that's good enough. And so I've defined myself a result source. And so I'll go back to my slightly not functioning result type. And if this doesn't work, I'm going to ask Will Smith to come in with his flashy machine and you know, wipe everyone's memories. Images. Right. And so just another sort of point out there, see how it's referencing the display template. So that's the JavaScript version of the one that I uploaded. Let's go back here. Maybe I'm going to have to do an F5. I was never going to show this anyway. Oh, look, it's working. I was only kidding. But this, it's actually not very hard, but I didn't quite have it set up. I was only going to show the one thing. So this is you know, what we should get, and it's that's as easier than the other thing, but I thought the other thing was more impressive. Right, so that's sort of how we can customize things. There's a lot more that we can do with search. I mean, you know, who likes these new sort of hover panels? They're cool, right? Yeah, you can do a lot with those. I like those. So I did a quick test of, the question's, does it work with non-SharePoint content sources? So if I had a result source which was, say, talking to Wikipedia, then I have this entire template engine available to me to that external content source as well. The properties that I'll have to work with will probably be limited, but you know, you can do kind of inline rich results from multiple sources and your users won't know where it's coming from. A file share. What are you trying to do? Well, at the moment, the documentation all talks about the content being in SharePoint for previews, but... they can. All right, so Wayne's just saying that the Office web app servers can render from file shares. That's his understanding. I had a wee look at it because I was like, yeah, that would be really cool and that's what people expect. And I haven't quite seen the way to make it work yet, but I think it might be possible. If Office web apps can do it and it's just a URL that you need to generate, then there'll be a way to make it work or fudge it, I'd say. So where was, if you just hover over here, so we've got, come back here, so we've got follow down there, we've got edit, view library, send, so you've got a few other things. And you know, that's the sort of stuff that we can customize as part of our results. Right, so that's sort of customizing the results. I promise this is pretty much the end. There we go, we're over here. So we've already missed this. Hopefully it wasn't good. I mean, it was good. It was good. We've also missed this, although we did see this session here at the end. I hear it was excellent. Tomorrow we've got some other great sessions. So as was pointed out, they're sort of more sort of case study style, but you know, let's see what people are doing. You can contact me via my contacts in the first slide or these ones. They are the same. And I am responsive. I'll happily respond with fallacies. Kidding, I always tell the truth. So there are actually some really good resources around 2013 search. So there's an entire set of learning modules for IT pros. So you go in and you've got like 13 modules, and then behind those there's about four or five. So there's actually heaps and heaps of stuff. There's also the same for the developers, and so modules 11 and 7. There is MSDN documentation on 2013, which is actually very good. This doesn't detail display templates just yet, but it's coming, I'm sure. And then there is this this other sort of landing page for capabilities and features in 2013, and there's a search section which then points off to the architecture diagrams and other stuff here and there. So those four could be your entry point to basically everything you need, of course, and myself. Jesus, too late in the day. And there are, obviously, if you don't just care about SharePoint 2013 search or SharePoint 2013, you can just go and check out all these other good resources. Please give me a good evaluation, because this is probably the best session you've ever been to. Even with the non-working demos, no, they did work. It was just that one tiny bit that didn't quite work. But that was one of, like, 10 things. I mean, come on. At least I didn't have internet problems. Right, so evaluate the session, and someone will give you a prize. So, for a cup, someone ask a good question or tell me their favourite thing about what they've just seen. Hey! Shall I try and throw it to... No. That deserves a car.
Yeah.
You just want a car, Angela.
I've already got one. Oh, my
goodness. Pardon? Well, no, that's not how it works. Nick gets the car instead. What should someone do for a cup? Shout out the coolest thing they saw apart from XSLT.
Hover.
What?
Hover paints.
Yeah, definitely. Cup for you, see? Just stockpiling them. Does anyone else want a cup? Yeah, you guys can all have cups. There we go. Just put those there. Last cup. Yep, so they got rid of SQL syntax, but fast query language, and they call it KQL now, which that's never going to catch on. Keyword query language, those are the two options you have now, and you do have some of the fast stuff from FQL, especially XRank is now in KQL.